listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I know she's about to ask me how she look. I tell her beautiful and how long it took for you to put it on. It was early in the morning. She resembled a model out of a MacBook. Concentrated on the way the eyeliner thickens. I stand behind her and try to figure her vision of prettiness, the wittiness of her colors on her skin tone, her complexion in a direction I've outgrown.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the hizzy on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Everybody's favorite. The Walking Dead. No, I'm just kidding. It's Game of Thrones Wednesday. So welcome back, white people. It's good to have you.
Hey.
I know downloads will spike up for Wednesdays now. We still appreciate y'all listening, man.
We do.
You know, get these 10 episodes out of the way, and then we'll see you for some social justice eventually. Of course, you can recognize the voice of the person that you heard. I believe, I mean, she's been on our show so much, we've been on her show so much. Mm-hmm. We're friends in real life. It's our girl Nick Ju. What's going on, Nicole?
What's up, internet?
And shout out to of course, What's the Tea. We never miss an episode. And we had Reggie on Sunday. I feel like this has become a habit where we have Reggie on Sunday and then Nick Ju comes in and closes the week with right. Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, I have to be in church. One of us got to get to heaven.
Yeah, we need a little bit of, a little bit of, because Nick Ju was like, oh, I could be on the show. You picked the day. And I was like, all right, Sunday. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. The Jesus thing. So what about another day? I was like, well, why don't you do, you watched them Thrones. So why don't you come through and party with us?
I'm very happy to be here.
Hey, I'm glad to have you. Of course. Me too. You guys can find us find What's the Tea on iTunes. You can find Nick Ju on Twitter at Nick Ju. No more underscore.
No underscore.
Whatever happened to that lady, I wonder.
She quit tweeting, so it got took.
Right. She's just somewhere. I hope nothing happened to her. At any rate, make sure y'all check them out because the show is great, man. I know I listened to the Lemonade episode when it came out. I knew y'all was going to be on it, and it was everything I imagined. So appreciate y'all.
Oh, I appreciate y'all. Like, legit, I don't feel like I get a chance to do this, so I'm going to take the time right now. Sorry to interrupt the flow of the show.
No problem.
But I love y'all. I super appreciate y'all. Like, you remain my favorite podcast, and I'm always a little nervous when I come on because, like, y'all are my jam. Like, trendsetters, paving the way. Y'all are so smart, and you do your homework, so I don't have to watch all them videos that be on the internet and scream.
No, you don't. We do it so you don't have to, and we
so we don't have.
That is true. Yeah. The other day, I was like, it was like maybe a few weeks ago. And I was talking about something online. This person was just like, hey, man, I just want you to know, I only listen to the podcast, but I appreciate you researching all this shit. Because if I would have saw that video, I would have killed somebody. I was just like, well, you know what? I'm glad it's one more life in the world because we decided to watch the BuzzFeed video. Yes. Rather than to just have other people do it.
Yes. And also, shout out to everybody out there who is in the cool kids club with like their grandkids and great grandkids and nieces and nephews. So when they bring shit up, you be in the know.
Right. Yeah.
We do it for y'all.
Right. Sometimes I go down my parents' house. I forget that they listen to the show and they'll bring up something real topical. And I'm like, what? Okay.
How you know that?
Right. It's like, yeah, I remember when you said that. Can't believe Aisha Tyler said that. I'm like, what? But yeah, make sure you guys also go to the blackouttips.com and iTunes and Stitcher. Oh yeah, the RSS feed is fixed for premium people. It was down for a couple of days. I had to get real angry white woman letter. Yeah. With them.
Had to get information and let Becky know what was up.
It's funny though, that shit worked, so I can't even say nothing. No, as soon as I got real indignant, like, well, maybe I'll take my services. Then it was like, oh, well, we got you right now. Sorry about that, sir.
The best gift white women ever gave me, the best gift, the value of a strongly worded email.
Mm-hmm. I had to let them know what it was, and they fell right back. Of course, you can also go to the iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and Podomatic and just search the Blackout Tips. Leave comments and vote in the, leave 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the air on Saturday when we do our feedback show, as long as we like them and they're 5 stars. If they're not 5 stars, we won't read them. If we don't like them, we won't read them. So, but everybody that's cool, we'll read those. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
Bullet ball extreme.
I knew the weight. And Bobby Shmurda has been locked up 497 days.
Free hot niggas.
I know. That means by the time we do the feedback show, it'll be like 500 days.
Wow.
I know, right? But yeah, 497 days he's been locked up, awaiting that get that bail reduced. But it's not coming. He's just sitting in there like Marjorie. We also have some triple sponsors today. So we got of course Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com today and use code FREETBGWT to get your first month free, absolutely free. getbevel.com. So, you know, Father's Day is coming up. Think about yourself, okay? Think about your father. Also, matter of fact, and think about anybody, any man in your life that would use this. Give it to your boss. I don't care. It's free. They just gonna think you did some real nice shit for them.
Right.
Even though you really got it for free.
They don't know that.
Right. I just get it and keep it in, just keep it on me just in case.
Somebody's,
you know what I'm
birthday
saying?
Came up or
right.
Holiday come up and you were like, oh shit, wait a minute, I got you, dog.
Right. Oh, you know what? Your face situation is messed up. But go ahead, you know, help them get that up off of them. Don't nobody want to walk around looking all messed up. It's also brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Of course, Shadow Dog Productions and maker of fine handcrafted audio plays. You know, so make sure you guys go out and check out our audio play album that has Nick Jew on it, coincidentally. It's called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and we get on there and we play a whole bunch of silly ass characters for you guys to go ahead and laugh at.
It was so much fun.
Go ahead and go to Amazon and go to iTunes and you can buy it. Just search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, or you can search my government name and it'll come right up, Rod Morrow. And make sure you leave us 5-star reviews on there. It won't even cost you a Tubman, y'all. Okay? These are reasonable prices. So hook yourself up and hook us up. And then lastly, got a little bit of a sexier sponsor. Let me see if I can find some sexy music real quick. Let's see what I've been listening to lately. Nope, too sad. How about this? all right, here we go. There we go. Hey, it looks like some of you guys need to get your sex on, and you know who want to help you get your sex on? Adam and Eve. Right now they have a limited time offer where they will give you 50% off or just about any item. All you got to do is go to adamandeve.com and put in code TBGWT. You get 50% off of that one item. And in addition to that, any one item, they give you 3 free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift and free shipping on your entire order. And the free exclusive gift, they tell you what it is up front. That's right. It's not a guess. It's that clip bumper, guys. Okay. It's going to be bumping that clip. Exactly. The ideal pleasure ring for couples. I say use it by yourself if you need to. Do what you got to do. Okay, don't let nobody judge you. And also, it works like a cock ring and like one of those beads. So it like does both. It keeps him erect longer and it increases the strength of the orgasm. Plus it gives her, you know, that pleasureful vibrations wherever she particularly needs it. Clitoris. So make sure you guys go to adamandeve.com and use code TBGWT. And unlike this ad, it comes in a discreet box, so nobody got to know that you're a freak. That's between you and whatever is going on in your house. So adamandeve.com, code TBGWT. Hop about the bed and get your swag on, okay? All right. Now let's do what the white people came to hear. Or actually, you know what? I'll take that back. Let's do what the white people need to hear first.
You smart. See?
Let's do this for the Wasichus. So, okay, before we even get started, I have to bring this shit up because I wasn't gonna talk about it. I was gonna wait till Sunday and maybe talk about it then or a more appropriate time, but this is our show and I feel like the cost of listening to us talk about this delicious Game of Thrones episode that you guys enjoy so much should at least be getting a little bit of that awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's time for this. All right.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, white people. It's time to play the game that you all avoid when you don't listen to this show. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go around the world and we get different articles and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 and how much we feel fucked with. And they're in intervals of 25. Today's contestant, Aisha Tyler. Really? Really, Aisha Tyler? Girl,
we talking about this at lunch.
We were all rooting for you. All right, let me start with this. Aisha Tyler has been the victim of some shady headlines on Bossip, and I feel like I would definitely like to say I do not get down with the slander that she is receiving because she's going through a difficult time. She's getting divorced from her husband, who happens to be a white man, and there's been a whole lot of swirl gone wrong and, you know, her vanilla king and shit like that, and it's been a lot of jokes. We don't truck in that. Mm-hmm. So I would like to clarify, right, this has nothing to do with that. Nope. And I don't love who you want to love, live how you want to live. I don't see any problem with it, but baby, she hurt my heart, man. She got interviewed by Money College Planner magazine, I guess, Time, the money section, and she did an interview, and it was by Kim Clark, and it was about black kids going to college. So far so good. She was asked, she said African-American teens should be, quote unquote, be brave when choosing a college. Okay, no problem with that so far. What would we be like if black people didn't go into the heart and try to change things? She asked. With all the news about racial tensions on college campuses, many African-American teens might be tempted to avoid schools where they will be part of a tiny minority. But Aisha Tyler, graduate of Dartmouth College, says that would be a mistake. Instead, the comedian actress urges African-American teens to be brave and enroll in schools, even or especially where there have been incidents of racism, to help turn around attitudes. And at least some data supports her advice. A new database analysis of which colleges help African Americans succeed, created jointly by Money and Essence magazines, finds that many of the schools that give big boosts to black students are elite, predominantly white colleges such as Dartmouth. While only about 7% of the undergraduates at Dartmouth are African American, the Ivy League college ranks 27th in the nation on the Money/Essence list, in part because African Americans who get into the school graduate at a rate of more than twice the national average for African Americans as a whole. In addition, Dartmouth offers generous financial aid, and its graduates tend to do well in the job market, as Shonda Rhimes can attest. So then they, by the way, at this point, don't really have much problem with any of this, but then they get into the interview and then we have to talk about her actual words. So they ask, why did you choose Dartmouth, which is a fairly small college in the boondocks of New Hampshire, with a comparatively small percentage of African-American students? What is this? Don't do that. Anyway, Tyler says, Dartmouth represented a great opportunity. I wanted to go to the best possible school I could go to. Dartmouth is a small school with high caliber teaching. Our classes were all taught by professors, not teaching assistants. I felt like that was a school where I could make a big splash. The opportunities would be grander and more robust for me there than at a school with 40,000 students. I didn't mind being in a school with a small African-American population. The African-American community was very tight, and that was great. But I also wanted to interact with other types of folks. Every culture is very important. Dartmouth has always been dedicated to diversity of culture. Still, no problem with me with that for me so far. You know, it was a bit of an implication that other schools don't value other cultures and stuff, but that's cool, you know. That's her experience there. Someone said, so they asked her, what would you say students who might be put off by hearing about racial incidents on a campus? She says, when incidents of discrimination happen, that is the real world. You know, if someone doesn't write something nasty on your dorm door, that doesn't mean they're not thinking it. I applied to Dartmouth the year the school had a big demonstration against apartheid. The students built a shanty town on the green, and some students, ultra conservatives, destroyed the shanty town with sledgehammers. I told my high school counselor I was going to Dartmouth, and he asked me, why go to a school where that happened? It's not for everybody. You have to decide what you can tolerate. But my great, 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 great grandfather escaped slavery in Texas and eventually went back into the post-Reconstruction Texas and built a successful business. What would we be like if black people didn't go into the heart and didn't try to change things? We would have made no progress in this country. Bravery is the engine of change. So then they asked, what advice would she give to African-American high school students who are thinking about where to attend college? And she said, I'd say step out of your comfort zone. Don't pick a college that replicates what you did in high school. Test yourself in an unfamiliar context so that you can learn to succeed no matter where you're placed, so that you can know you can excel. All right. That last part and a little bit of the last question I have an issue with. And it's mainly that there's this assumption that, because I feel like the implication here is as up to the use. Like, without her saying HBCUs, what other environment is there where black people are stereotypically viewed as, you're now the majority of the culture on campus, so therefore you're not challenging yourself, you're not stepping outside of yourself. There's also an assumption there where she says, when you're coming into college, you need to step out of your comfort zone. I think most people would agree that if you go to college, you're already going to be stepping out of your comfort zone. But the idea that black people stepping out of their comfort zone means going into whiteness is kind of ridiculous, because where in this country are black people not able to go to school with white people? And that's definitely not the common experience. I'm not saying there's not some black people like this, but the common experience, since we make up 13% of the population in America, is that most of us go to school with white people our whole lives, K-12. That's what we do. It's not really like we have much choice in the matter at any rate. So I find that kind of odd to kind of frame it that way. And also framing it as bravery is also kind of a stretch, because I don't understand why it's considered brave to go into a space where whiteness is superior, it's supreme, it's dominating. That's just life for everybody. It's not really a bravery thing. And especially if I can't just be a student, I have to go to this school and change the face of racism. Like, I'm just trying to get this degree, dog. You know what I mean? So like, that is kind of a weird assumption to make as well, that black students need to find the racism and put in the labor to fix college institutional systemic racism. That's a college's job. You know, like, their job is to make, I'm paying money to be in school. Their job is to make my stay as good as they can make it, right? She also has said at one point she picked Dartmouth because it had class sizes that were small and they didn't have teachers' assistants teaching classes. It was just the professors themselves. Yeah, that's why I picked my HBCU. And many people pick an HBCU because of that. It's not just, oh, it's black, I'm gonna go there because I watch School Days. In a lot of cases, it's, oh, when I visited campus, almost every single school I went to was like, we have class sizes of 30 or less. you will be meeting your professors. Your professors have office hours. You can go by and visit them. You know, it's a very personal atmosphere because we're rooting for you and we're trying to make sure you have every opportunity to succeed here. So it's kind of like this really big assumption that gets made, which is that, at black schools, somehow we don't have these things, or if we do, they're inferior. And it's such a, it's so damaging to put out into the world, you know? And I don't understand why it's not seen as brave for a kid to be like, I want to go somewhere for 5 years and say, I want to be educated and be among my people. How's that not brave? Because the way people talk about HBCUs, it seems like you got to be brave to go there, because motherfuckers shit on them so fast, like they don't know anybody that's been to one. You know, and just not to filibuster too much here, I'm sorry guys, but just even in the context of that, I saw people trying to kind of buy into her argument on my Facebook and stuff, being like, well, she does have a point about comfort zones. And I had to be like, no, because the premise is fucked up. That premise assumes black people never deal with whiteness ever, and then they're running away from whiteness when they go to a HBCU, which couldn't be further from the truth. I went to a HBCU. I had an internship every single year I went there. It was with a Fortune 500 company. It was a Danish shipping company in corporate America. It wasn't, you gonna go work for the black company. Like, you still deal with white supremacy. You still deal with white spaces. You still get job placement and they're at white companies. I don't know what they think they're teaching us at HBCUs. You don't walk in and fucking the Black Panthers come out and start going on rants about honkies and pigs. That's not what it is, guys. It's a school. The same way that we don't have this conversation about BYU. Right? We don't have that conversation about BYU. We don't say, well, most of the world ain't Mormon. How are these kids gonna get prepared to go out into the world if they can't even have sex on campus? We don't even ask that question because we know it's stupid. We don't ask, people that go to schools based on gender, where it's like a boys', institution or a girls' institution. We don't say, how's that person gonna come out to the world and be able to work in a world where there are men coming to work? I mean, they're gonna be boys there. How are they gonna just be able to cooperate with them? And because we know that's a silly situation. We know that outside of this, in this world, you're never gonna be in a situation where it's just only women except for these places, and you can find power in that, right? But we don't want people to find power in blackness for some reason, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, if you ever, first of all, everybody involved in this shit on the other side, talk to somebody that's going to an HBCU.
Right.
Like, we're out here. We're resources. Before you just pop off with a really ill-informed, ignorant opinion, could you ask the question? Because I think sometimes when you ask the questions, you see how stupid it sounds. Because, like, I don't know if you guys know this, other people than black people go to HBCUs.
Yes, they do.
Like, you actually don't need, like, it's not 100% blackness. It's not even 90%. It's not even like 60% in a lot of cases. You know what I'm saying? It depends on the situation, but it's not just get out of here. It's like a bunch of black people. Yes, they're on campus. Yes, they're there. But just because it's above 7% doesn't mean that there's no white people on our campus. There's no, we had Native Americans on campus. We had Latinos on campus. Black people, white people, I know, right? They were on campus. Like, the assumptions that people make are just so childish, but they're coming from adults. You know, Aisha Tyler is an adult, man. You know, so, and knowing her comedy and her voice that she has, which is very much a, I'm the kind of black person that's not really black, mm-hmm. is a lot of her comedy. Baby, maybe your comfort zone would have been going to a HBCU to step out of it. Maybe that's what you needed to do. I don't know. But if that's what you're rolling with as a brand, to then turn it and be like, black people just not brave and they need to go to these racist schools and fix these white people. Man, our kids don't need to keep doing this labor. Go where you appreciate it. Go where you fed. It's really not our job, man. And no black person should feel like that's their job, is to fix white people. Like, it's an impossible task, but also it's just, you shouldn't take on that burden. It's not for you to do. If you want to, great. Like, you go somewhere and you like, I done fought all my life. And you want to get up every day and be banging on bacon, like, in the morning, cool. I'm not going to begrudge you. But if you want to go to Dartmouth and not have to deal with that shit, that's what I'm for. I think you should be able to go wherever you want to as a black person, and it doesn't change your blackness. You're under no obligation to work and fix racism. I don't care what school you're at. And mostly, I just want people to stop downing HBCUs with this anti-black bullshit. And don't write in with your individual special snowflake reason why you didn't go to one, because this isn't an indictment on you. I have no issue with you not going to one. You know, and if you said, I wish I had gone to one, that's cool too. I'm not downing you for that. I literally don't care. You're black wherever you go. I love your blackness wherever it is. Mm-hmm. So can we just stop with the false ultimatum of, let's praise the people that go to PWIs, or let's praise the people that go to HBCUs while we diss the other people. It's so divisive, and it's literally based on a bunch of ridiculous stereotypes. Mm-hmm. I know black people from every fucking walk of life.
Yes, sir.
That have love for each other. So I don't want to see the framing of this as, well, they're just going to HBCUs because they're not as brave as me going to Dartmouth. Like, come on, man. That's a ridiculous way to even look at it. And also, it's a ridiculous idea for these kids to have to go fix Dartmouth, a place where they're 17, 18 years old.
Right, they're children.
And now their responsibility is to fix the racism on campus. How did that work out in Missouri? Because those kids stood up, and now they're gonna pass the rule where your ass better be on the football field or you're losing everything. It's a lot to ask kids to fix. All right, sorry about that, guys, but I had to get it out.
I appreciate that, and I wanted to say everything that you said, but I feel like I have a special piece of a couple of things to add to this, because when I was picking out schools, my dad was like, if you go to Grambling, I'm going to pay your whole way. And at the time, I had just gone through my black people don't really like me, I'm the weird theater girl phase. So I was like, why would I want to go to school with a bunch of black people? Everybody in my family is black. Everyone that I associate with is black. The only people who I know who aren't black are my friends who I went outside of my family to go find. So I'm not doing that. And like, the minute I got to school, all I did was be up around black people. For the first time in 4 years, because in high school I was with everybody, I specifically sought after other black people because there were so few of us on campus. And my like PWI experience was very, very black. And to this day, I regret not going to an HBCU because I don't identify with the whole like having professors who care about you as a human being, or having an experience where you're around other black people who are into what you're into instead of being an outcast or a nerd or whatever. And like, I've never ever really seen it for Aisha Tyler, because she always struck me as a special snowflake. And like, that, like, white people big upping you and othering you and making you feel better or different than other black people, that's an addictive pill. And like, I swallowed it for a hot second, and right before, I think I was about 19, is when I was like, no, like, why do I care what you think of me? Your liking me, your approval of me doesn't make me better. And I think a lot of black people who stick to that special snowflake thing, they never, ever got out of that. And it's like, this woman I used to work with is like, you're so pretty, you're not like the other black girls, you're different. I'm like, no, I'm not. Right. I'm not. And you're not complimenting me by trying to other me. Like, people are like, what are you mixed with? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because when you look at me, I want you to see what you identify as beautiful as black.
Right.
As black. Doesn't matter what else is going on in my family. What you see is black. And Aisha Tyler has always been on some like, I'm not really a black girl. When people would say that to me, I would get so mad. I'm like, why not? Why right. not? Because I talk a little bit differently, or like, you have this small little spectrum of what you think black is, and you're not giving me anything by trying to pull me out of that. And I'm so sick of black people being like, well, black people weren't, they didn't like me and this and that, as an excuse as to why the white man's ice is colder. Like,
right.
you know, we could do a lot on our behalf too, to open up and let different and other kind of black people in and let them know that they're welcome here. But a lot of that is them walking out on their own.
Right. You know what's wild too is like, in a lot of cases, the experience, at least the experience I've had, is even if you joke the person as the like, oh, you're the prim and proper person among the crew of black, like we're all black, you're the prim and proper one, you're the one who talks a certain way, you act a certain way, there's still like so much love for you and want, like there's rooting for your success as well, where it's like, oh, so-and-so is the first one to graduate from college in our family. Like there's a pride there too, you know, and I guess some people never experienced the pride, or maybe if they were mocked or something, it went like that, sunk so far into them that the rest of the experience is just basically all bullshit, right? But the thing for me is like, whiteness has been toxic for black people no matter where you're at. How could anyone believe that it's not? Like these same kids that you go to college with that are liberal and cool right now, as you get older, you will watch them turn more and more conservative, less and less liberal, more, you know, like you'll just watch them because they don't have to worry about that shit. Life takes you a different path. And to attest to the power of HBCUs, I do want to look at this list, right? So they have this list of where African-American students have like the highest success rates, right? And it goes by like graduation rate, the price of a degree, your early career salary, and student loan debt, right? So Princeton is number one. 6% African-American students get in there. 93% graduate. And you come out making a whole lot of money. You know, it's Ivy League. Harvard is second. 5% get in there, right? So 5% gets in there. Duke, 7%. Cornell, 5%. Okay, cool. So the top five, basically, if a black student gets into a Ivy League school and they decide to go there, chances are they will do, they will graduate high percent, because, you know, they have high standards to get in anyway. But you will graduate. You'll probably get a good job, all that good stuff. That's dope. Okay. It will cost you a grip, but that's cool. You know, cost everybody a grip. Now we start looking at the other schools on the list. At number five, Florida A&M, 87% African-American. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the 87% of people that, are black that go there, right? Now, only 39% of the people graduate, from A&M, but they also don't tell you that HBCUs let in a lot more people. And a lot of people use that as a knock on HBCUs. Well, I'm like, that's the best shit ever. They'll let you in because maybe you do have what it takes. No matter what people have told you your whole life. You know, you got the money and you got the time and you got the know-how, and you can go in there and graduate despite not fitting the stereotypes that people have of people.
Yeah. And my biggest thing is, what about you doing the motherfucking work? Don't people understand? Just because I give you the opportunity, if you don't do the work, you will not make it. And that's something I don't understand. A lot of people, particularly black people and color people, just need to be given the opportunity. But when the opportunity is not given to you, you can't take advantage of it. But the thing is, we'll go, come on in, but you still have to do the motherfucking work.
Right. And honestly, you can't rely on being black.
Right.
Like, you can't be in a situation where you're like, well, I'm black and I'm not fitting in here, so hopefully the teacher will take it easy on me. Ain't no take it easy. All y'all black. Right. Get your shit together. You know,
ain't no snowflake. Ain't no I'm special. Ain't nobody really kissing your ass. They're like, nigga, we all here. You black just like me. Work.
And they've seen too many black kids succeed for you to have an excuse. Too many people have walked through the halls of your university at your HBCU that have been black and had problems in their lives and found a way to graduate. For them to be like, well, you know, you're black and I know you, it's hard. So it's like, no, man, you still gotta, while I care about you and I want you to do better, I'll give you the tools to do better, but if you gotta do the work, you know. So also on the list, Spelman College. 87% African Americans, 75% graduation rate. You know, A&T is on here at number nine. Maryland College Park is on here. Who else? Yeah, well, Yale's on here. University of Pennsylvania's on here. Columbia, New York, like all, it's like basically you need to go to a HBCU or Ivy League school. That, like, that's the list. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that in an, as a negative way to anyone who went to another school, but when we're comparing the outcomes for black people, if you don't go to a school specifically designed for you, then you need to be going to like Harvard, Princeton. That says a lot about America. You know, there's, now there's a couple other, University of Florida's on here. Of course, Hampton, Boise State, of course. Virginia State, well, Virginia State's HBCU. Berea College, Amherst College. So there's some other places, but listen to the places. They're all like elite places or HBCUs, which would kind of say for black people, HBCUs are elite places. Now, what makes them elite? It's just the support, y'all. It ain't really like, it ain't rocket science. This is a place where you don't get drummed out, you know, where socially it's not awkward for you, where, you know, Aisha says, like, you know, on campus, at PWIs, black people form tight-knit groups. And that makes sense, because if you don't, you're going to wash out. You know what I mean? Like, you do need, there's some comfort in being around people like you. And not to mention, while you're at a HBCU, so much curriculum, so many speakers, so much stuff is focused on how to get you to be successful in a white dominated world.
Right.
So much. You know what I mean? I stopped going to see speakers because I was just like, I already know what he's going to say. You know, like, this, okay, so the 17th dude to come in, it'd be like, all right, now you got to get your good suit. You got to be there on time. You're going to have to work twice as hard for half as much. Like, it was, but it was drilled into you where, you know, I remember my favorite, one of my favorite moments is we got speakers from just these, alumni who came in. They were all wearing business suits and shit. And, this one brother got up. He had these beautiful cornrows that he had, you know, had all year and stuff. And they were like long, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell, like, he just meticulously had like the Iverson designs and shit. And he was like, so if I want to go to work with my cornrows, what kind of, and the dude in the suit was just like, I hate to tell you this, but
right, you have to cut your hair.
You gonna have to cut that shit off. Everybody was like, what?
Yeah,
he's like,
you want to work in the white environment,
right? And everyone had the moment of like, it's unfair. What does it say about like my ability? I can work. Like, it doesn't, like, it won't change how I work. He's like, you won't even get past the interview with that shit.
No, you won't.
And it was a real ass moment, but I feel like people must think that we're in Looney Tunes land at HBCUs where we're just like, you go in there and tell that white man that you gonna wear your hair how you want to. You like D'Angelo, and that's just, that's his problem.
You're gonna be jobless.
Right. Like,
with a loan.
Right. So it sucks to hear somebody kind of big up the, you know, these universities at the expense of this idea that it's braver to go there, and it's the place where you step outside of your comfort zone. College is outside of your comfort zone, guys, period. Your mom and daddy ain't come pick you up, okay? Like, you already outside of your comfort zone walking on the campus. There's nothing, you're not weaker for having 1.5 people that support you around. So, like I said, no knock to anybody who went to any college.
Mm-mm.
Just, I want black people to succeed wherever they're at, but it ain't your job to fix these white folks. All right, let's go ahead.
The nail on the head too, Rod. She was a prime candidate for somebody who probably should have gone to an HBCU, because then she wouldn't have come out on the other end.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's, oh, go ahead, Nicole, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Like, she would have come out on the other end, like, I, not saying things like, I'm not really black, or I'm not, you know, all the way black, because she would have met other black people like her. Do you know that until I left California, I did not know that there were black suburbs? Like, I thought the Huxtables were, like, just fake for TV, because where I come from, the only place you find concentrated areas of black people is the hood.
Right. Right.
Everybody black who lives in the burbs, you live with other races or with white people. There's no black middle class, like, regular suburb in the Bay Area, not one.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just funny because what a lot of people I think don't grasp about black people is that the experience isn't necessarily universal, right? Like,
mm-mm.
being black in one place is totally different from being black in another place, and you can be just as ignorant. You can get all your information from TV. You can watch Def Comedy Jam and you think that's what black humor is and all this shit, and you're black. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not even like able to fathom that you are breaking the mold for blackness in your own mind. And then so instead of saying, well, I'm just as black as anybody else, you walk around with kind of a chip on your shoulder, like, I'm a different kind of black, and these other black people are a problem. It's not me. I don't like these other black people. And I feel like a lot of times people walk into situations almost ready to fight black people, like, no, you don't want to like me because I'm smart. And I'm like, who the fuck told you that? Like, right. you are making this prophecy come true. I'll tell you that much. You are making it come true when you walk into a space with that type of looking down on people for their race. Even if you black, if you walk into a space on some, well, I talk proper, so it's like I'm white and you guys are regular blacks. It's like, okay. So then when we flip on you, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You got
to... Yeah. The terrible part about that is who taught you that was white people. Right. It was never other black people. I might have got made fun of in my family, but it was never other black people black checking me until I bought the lie.
Right. So anyway, man, good luck to Aisha Tyler. I really like her podcast, for the record. And a lot of times this kind of stuff, like, it's on the periphery of her show, but it's not a lot of like, white people are the greatest, black people are the worst. But I know her stand up can be a bit like that. And who knows what her personal life is, and she's going through a divorce. So, man, I don't know. It's a lot, man. It sucks when you don't. I don't want to not like Aisha Tyler, man.
Right. Because I think for me as a black woman, it's very hurtful because I don't know if she realized it, but a lot of black women only, not trying to be funny, the biggest reason they support her is because she is a black woman. Right. And that's very hurtful to a lot of black women. For me to identify with you, but you don't identify with me in return. And that is a problem. And also, it's just one of those things where I think, just from my, I guess, the perspective, a lot of times, it becomes a separation because a lot of times black children are separated, particularly very, very smart black children are separated very early from the rest of their peers. They're taken out, they're putting in these AG class, these higher level classes, which is fine, but a lot of times these classes are particularly all majority white. So a lot of times, end up being separated a lot of times from children that are like you. And a lot of black children and brown children are raised in these situations where they identify with whiteness and kind of leave their blackness behind because blackness is looked at as, kind of in their minds, unless you have somebody kind of inbreeding in you as a child that you're black, that you're black, that you're black, that you're black, and it's okay to be black. You can be black and smart, you can be black and intelligent, you can be black and score all this stuff, but at the end of the day, you're still black, and you have to, and it's hard to ingrain in a child that your blackness is not less than because you are in this group of white people, and your blackness is not better than because you're in this group of blackness. Just be rooted and grounded in whatever your blackness is. And I think a lot of times white people aren't set to the side and be like, you gotta love your whiteness. That's never ingrained in them. They're taught, oh, the world is mine, I can do anything I want to because I'm white. But for us, we kind of have to inbred that in our children and teach them at a very, very early age that there is nothing wrong with your blackness. There's nothing wrong with being black and loving anime. There's nothing wrong with being black and loving comic books. There's nothing wrong with being black and being intelligent. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, at the end of the day, your blackness will trump all these other things, and that's very hard for people to understand.
All right.
Come on, Ken.
Let's get into what the white folks want.
I know, they weren't ready for that.
I know. I'm sorry, white people. I know y'all. You didn't wake up expecting this shit.
I'm not sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, me either.
Middle fingers in the air.
Holding them high.
Yes.
Might do this every week. Anyway.
I ain't sorry. I ain't sorry.
Nigga, no.
This is the return of Game of Thrones, all right, which means it's the return of them thrones on the Blackout Tips podcast. You know, where we go around and recap Game of Thrones from week to week.
Yes, and we want to tell everybody out there, thank you so much for using the hashtag Them Thrones. We was number two behind Them Thrones.
Behind Game of Thrones.
Behind Game of Thrones, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's how good it is. We just associate Game of Thrones with Them Thrones. But
right.
Yeah, we were number two trending behind Game of Thrones on Sunday. Even my girl, Ava DuVernay, she used the hashtag.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I'm be using this. This is where it's popping and cracking.
Mm-hmm. So shout out to her, Reagan Gomez, all the famous people that mess with us. Mm-hmm. We appreciate y'all. And shout out to Black Girl Nerds, too, because every time somebody, like, tries on Twitter, they'll be like, oh yeah, Black Girl Nerds, y'all came up with this, right? They always direct them to us.
Yes,
every single
do.
Time
kudos to them,
which is amazing, because I always direct people to Firestarter, because that's where I first heard it. Mm-hmm. Was the boys on there recapping the show. So at any rate, this is episode one of season, what are we, five now, what is it, six, season six of Game of Thrones, called The Red Woman. Let me play the song. Oh shit. Reverb. All right, it's gone. All right, yeah, so Game of Thrones season six, The Red Woman. Basically, in this episode, to recap quickly, Jon Snow's corpse is found.
Fuck Ollie.
Yes, fuck Ollie, of course.
White canard.
Jon Snow's corpse is found. Sir Davos and a crew of a few people are locked in a room with Jon's corpse, and they're trying to figure a way where they don't get killed by Alistair Thorne, who's taking shit over at the Watch. And Winterfell, Ramsay mourns Miranda's passing, and Sansa and Reek are running through the woods trying to get away. Brienne shows up. Let's see. Cersei finds out her baby dead. Mm-hmm. Marcella dead, y'all. And in Dorne, we had the ladies get in formation and take over. And in Marine, Khaleesi is still missing, and terrorism is happening. And Bravo's Arya is season one of Daredevil. So. So, what'd you guys think about this episode overall? I'll start first with you, Karen.
I loved it.
All right. What about you, Nick Jew?
I loved it.
All right. I also loved it. So, we are all in unison here. Let's go scene by scene and break this bad boy down. Break it down. The Prince version, not the Tevin Campbell version. I think it's important to distinguish.
Which one you're talking about?
One is super awkward.
Right. One of them feels like sex, and the other one does not. So they left Jon Snow's body. We pick up right where we left off. Like, they didn't Walking Dead this at all. Mm-mm. Feel like Walking Dead would have made us wait till episode six to see Jon Snow's body, but
they was like, we know what y'all came here for.
Right. It's like the moment after he got stabbed, they just came right back. And we see Jon Snow's body still laying outside in the cold, like Meek Mill after Drake dissed him. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have the decency to bring him inside.
They didn't even bury him.
Right. Burn him or nothing.
They left him right under the traitor sign. Traitor Johns. So, of course.
Oh no.
So of course his dog was crying.
Hope his groceries cheaper.
Yeah. His dog was crying. The dire wolf ghost was crying so loud that it actually made Sir Davos, who was just sitting up in his room, he had to go outside and see what the deal was. Yeah. He found John's body.
Wolf was not That white wolf was not having it.
Yeah, ghost.
Oh, ghost. Ghost, yeah. Was like, mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm. Something wrong with Jon Snow, and I'm going to howl until somebody sets me free.
Yeah. But y'all see how Sir Davos came downstairs like, you kids out here, who out here playing on my damn water?
Making all this goddamn noise.
Who playing? Like if they would have had a burning bag of shit on his door, it would have made sense too.
Yeah.
Like these gosh darn kids. But yeah, so he goes outside to see what the deal was. John is dead. He finds the corpse, you know. John got a promotion and killed in the same week. And Davos and four of John's homies, including Dolores Ed, came and got the body, and they put him on a table like Ricky was put on that couch in Boys in the Hood.
Oh no. Oh, no.
Like that. That's the only thing missing is just some black woman crying over his body, you know.
You take me along.
Right. Why? He was supposed to be at college. Get off of me, dope boy. This is your fault. You did it to him. So they had Ed go fetch Ghost, and then Melisandre knocked on the door. Everybody pulled their swords out. And she was like, it's just me, y'all, housekeeping. And they was like, oh, you can come on in. She said when she saw John dead, her first thing was that she saw him in the flames fighting at Winterfell. So she was like, my flame prophecies must have been a rerun last week, because that's not what I saw in the fire.
She needed to get her vision straight.
Yeah, in the fire, my man John was in there whooping ass, but he is dead on this table, so, you know, and she's really doubting herself. She also thought Stannis was the one.
Yeah, and she left his ass high and dry. She hopped the hell out of there and left town.
Yeah, she's basically like a Clippers fan right now.
Oh.
She's like, I thought we
had it all. I'm out.
Right. I know somebody's going to wear an iron cup and break Chris Paul's hand. So then Thorne was holding a conference meeting. He had the conference room all booked, and he did something I didn't think he would do. He straight up told everybody Jon Snow was dead, and he did it. Mm-hmm. And he named his co-conspirators, like, it was me, Randy, little Ollie got some.
Week ago.
Yeah.
Hey.
Right. And truly, we some hot niggas.
Right. Like,
he really did go in there.
Just missing the music.
He put everybody's name on the track, y'all. And
he was like, and what y'all gonna do?
Right. And his thing wasn't even like a defined what the fuck y'all gonna do, but it was more like that nigga knew what he was doing. He brought the enemy in the gates. He risked our lives to save fucking wildlings. None of us like this, but this had to be done. And it reminds you that the crows are basically deserters, criminals, and rejects. Right? I mean, they're mostly cowards and rapists and shit. You can't expect too much from these guys.
Yeah, that, and it's one of those things where it is gonna, just think of it. It's gonna be really, really interesting, because they didn't see what John and the Wildlings and them seen with shit raising up from the dead, so it's gonna be really interesting when that shit hit they door and start climbing over that wall.
Right.
I
mean, if you think about it, John was basically Bernie Sanders. You know, if you think about it, I mean, he had that unquestionable integrity.
He stood firm.
He had that honor, and he died for his convictions. And Thorne was basically Hillary. He was like, man, come on, y'all knew we had to do it.
I'm a well-oiled machine.
Right. I'm just trying to win. Y'all want Trump to be president? That's what he should have said.
Right.
So to me, the question to now is, what do Thorne and those guys have planned for the Wildlings in their minds? Because the Wildlings are inside the wall now, and they have settlements. Like, are they planning to go kill these motherfuckers, or what's the next step?
They're going to have a war on their hands if they do.
Yeah, I don't even know why they give a fuck about John's body or not, but for some reason they do. But I would just be like, okay, so what's the next step? Anyway, so Davos sent Ed to go get the wildlings that John brought inside the wall because he said, you know, the four of us obviously aren't going to be able to hold off the entire castle. Mm-mm. And they don't trust Thorne. So it's like, why don't we just get the Wildlings to come in and kind of like help us out, and maybe we have a chance to survive. So, but we'll see, because y'all remember the Wildlings don't really fuck with John like that.
But he was about the only one they actually trusted.
Yeah, like they fuck with him a little bit though. Like, I would not be shocked if that redhead nigga was like, nah. Mm-mm.
Right.
Fuck they got to do with us.
Them sound like a y'all problem.
Yeah, they the black voters of the Democratic Party. They just
earn my vote.
You know what, man? He don't need to be around like that. Y'all just gonna vote for Alistair Thorne? Anyway, so then we get to Ramsay. Oh, what'd you say, Nick Ju? I'm sorry.
Nothing. I think I'm on a little bit of a delay.
Oh, let me hang up and call you right back. I'm gonna hang up and call you back.
Okay.
See if we can fix it. And if nothing else, we'll call her on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
We got ways to work around this. Hopefully she get reception at her crib, though. I'll see if this works. Hello?
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 Hey, we hear you, but do you hear us? Is it a delay still?
I can hear you. The only issue was when you played something, I couldn't hear that at all, but we're going to keep rolling.
Okay. All right, cool. So, Ramsay is mourning Miranda, of course, Dust the Side Chicks. And he says when he first met her, she smelled of dog, which makes sense because she was a white woman and it's wet in the north. I'm just using science. This is science, guys. This isn't an opinion. So he goes through this whole thing about how she wasn't scared of him and that's why he liked her and shit. And he had this other dude in there that's like a priest. He was like, unlike you, you were scared of me when I was a kid and shit. And he was like, you know, but I really loved her and shit. And the priest said, so what you want me to do? You want me to bury her or you want to do a funeral pyre and burn her body? And he said, nah, won't waste that good meat, feed her to the hounds.
He ain't shit.
Yeah, I guess it's a dog eat people who smell like dog world, because she's going straight to the house. Which says a lot about how cold-blooded Ramsay is, as if we needed more confirmation. I mean, right. He's a pretty cold-blooded guy.
a conundrum, right? Because he's awful and terrible, but he's like the most awful and the most terrible. But I didn't like her, so feed her to the dog.
Yeah.
He treated her like shit.
Yeah, but she kind of liked it, you know.
True.
Like,
so that was her jam. Yeah,
they're like, you're right, they're like that crazy couple that you like, I guess, you know what I'm saying?
If that's what they into,
they like that couple in Baby Boy. Well, he fucked her on when she was on the phone. Well, you just like, okay, so this y'all thing?
Yeah.
Y'all be mean to each other, then y'all, okay, all right. I won't be going down y'all house for no events.
Ever.
Stannis is confirmed dead, I believe, in this next, because a lot of people last episode, so many people wrote us saying, like, Stannis still alive. They didn't show him getting killed. But I think he must be dead because Roos and Ramsay bring it up immediately that he is dead, but they don't know who killed him because it was Brienne and nobody saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he's confirmed dead. If he's not, I'll be as shocked as anybody else, but it seemed like they said he died. And Roos was like, so you feel like a winner? Which is obviously a loaded question. And Ramsay was like, I feel all right. And he was like, well, you won the battle and that's cool, but then you went out and burned all those supplies and shit that we could have used.
Right.
And Sansa and Reek escaped, which means you lost the North and the Iron Isles.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't combine the North so that we can fight off King's Landing. Nobody's ever taken King's Landing without the whole North being united, so you kind of fucked us.
yep, he was like, you give zero fucks about strategy, boy.
He told him, you played your games with her and Reek, and I think Roose tolerates Ramsey playing his games because Roose is still fucked up too. I mean, he flays people, so
yeah,
it's yeah. I learned it from you. Like, what's he gonna say? Let's see. Reek and Sansa was running through the woods like a white woman in a horror movie.
Yes, they was. I was like, bitch, if you don't run.
Like, they wouldn't have made it to, like...
Like, she bet not.
Say that again, Nick Jew.
I was like, she better not fall.
Yeah, right. Like, and you know, like... and I know they didn't have time to hatch an escape plan, but, like, they really could have used, like, a sensible pair of Nikes at this point in this, because it was not a game out there. They got to a river. She ain't want to cross because it was going to be cold. And he was like, do you not hear them fucking dogs?
Right. I was like, bitch, you'd run it for your life. What is the... You not understand. You are in danger.
Right. So they...
I can't make it cross.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't make it across. I'm like, bitch, if you don't run your ass in this water.
Right. You going, like...
I hate sin.
Is this a death? Right, he was like, because he was like, and it's not even a good death, like the hound's gonna fuck us up, it's gonna be bad, so let's just drown then, if that's what it is. So then they wouldn't have made it to episode 2 of Underground, by the way.
Mm-mm.
Just off GP.
Mm-mm.
They would have been on that path talking about, but it's so hot, does anybody have any sunscreen? When we gonna get something to drink?
And I'm saying, master the found them quick.
Right, they would have came back.
I'm not gonna doll, let me back in.
So they had this whole discussion about, you know, trying to get the freedom and shit, and Ramsey realizes that they're not gonna make it, so he's like, let me go distract the men from the Boltons and you run. And she's like, but I can't. And he's like, I'm gonna get killed, you just run, can you at least run? Like, it's the only chance we got, these two hapless fools. And he goes and runs a distraction that lasts all of 10 seconds.
Yep.
He's like, oh.
My God. He might as well have jumped out in front of them and been like, she over there.
You, like, for real, first of all, his distraction was a good 20 feet from where she was. Really? Like, how was that supposed to help? And he was like, I left her for dead. I don't care. And they was like, we don't believe you, man. We know she right around the corner. And they right. went around the corner.
And them dolls was like, she right there.
And so they found both of them, and one of the guards goes, I can't wait to see which part Ramsey's gonna cut off of you next. And right about then, our girl Brienne came out of nowhere on her horseback with Podrick. Mm-hmm. And they rode up on these like 5 men and started whooping the ass, man.
Yeah, I'm so proud of Podrick. Podrick rolled up like the 6th man off the bench. I was like, yay. Yeah. He was like, I am here. I might not
hey Nick, do you breaking up? Hey, you mind if I call you on your phone, or will it work if we call you on your phone?
Yeah, I think it will. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, all you right. can keep your Keep,
yeah, keep your stream on. I'll call you on your phone. Give me a second. All right. So I think I already got a number in here. So let's see if this works. What if it's just some other person's phone?
I know.
Hopefully it works. Yo, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right.
All right, cool. All right. So let's get back to business here. So yeah, they roll up. Podrick and Brienne are getting it in, crossing niggas up with the sword. Just Chris Breezy with the dance move, Steph Curry with the dance move, all over there. Especially Brienne. I mean, she is the Cheryl Miller of Westeros. Where like she can ball up any nigga in the game. Like, I real talk. Yeah, are we sure she is not the best warrior in the game?
Right. No, I think she might be.
Right? I mean, she beat Jaime.
She beat the bell.
Before he lost his hand, she beat Jaime, right? And then she beat she shot the fair one with a bear. It got interrupted, so I'm gonna call it a draw.
Okay,
but
it was a draw.
I'm not 100% sure she couldn't have beat that bear. Okay. Then we had she fought the hound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She whooped the hound ass.
Right. I mean, come on, dog. All them insults ain't saving when he's getting his ass whooped. You can't you big bitch your way out of this one. So I don't know. She might be the toughest, man. And she done took out multiple groups of more than one man before. So but anyway, she beats up these dudes. And they knock off her horse. She gets back up, picks up a sword. After getting kicked in the face, it kills like two or three more dudes. Podrick fights like two dudes. He kills one of them, hops up. The next one kind of gets the drop on him and is about to kill him. And Reek picked up a sword and killed the dude from behind. So he, you know, he's not plain scared. He's ready for his freedom. So then Brienne pledges herself to Sansa, and Sansa couldn't even remember the damn words to the pledge.
Yeah, Podrick, he memorized. He's like, look, I got to memorize this shit. He helped her.
Yeah, he was like, do your letters, baby. It's just,
yeah, you should have been kind. You should have been studying, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Pledge allegiance to the flag. So luckily they were there. And Brienne now has her third time's a charm to defend a royal person who is being hunted by evil people. So
yeah, that's all she wanted.
Yeah, she lost to the pussy poltergeist. Then she pledged herself to Lady Stark, who then sent her away and ended up getting killed. And now it's Sansa's turn. So good luck, Sansa.
She got down
on her knees and pledged to Sansa like she was trying to put a ring on it. Like, look, now look.
Her face was so serious, dog.
Oh yeah, she meant that thing. She was like, look, I tried your sister. Your sister was like, no.
Yeah. So then, Cersei is in her room, touching her short hair and drinking her wine, looking out the window, chilling. And, her like handmaiden comes in and tells her that, you know, the ship has arrived. She goes downstairs rushing to meet the ship, hoping to see Jaime and her daughter, and instead she sees Jaime and her daughter's corpse.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, God.
I know. And the thing is, she ain't even break all the way down, because deep down she know about the prophecy and that she's supposed to watch all her kids die. So she was just kind of like, I knew it, like deep down. She was sad, but it felt like she knew it, which sucks, you know, because like she sent Jamie over there to save her daughter and he couldn't, you know. So then they meet in the bedroom to talk, and unlike the first time that she lost a child, he didn't try to take it.
Good.
Despite what the showrunners would tell you about that scene.
Come on.
Yeah, they listened.
Yeah. Apparently dead children are not the thing that gets it up for him. I thought it was starting to look like it, though. I mean, pushed the one out the window, then this. It was looking bad for Jamie, but basically, man, she was just kind of like really sad. She was down. It's almost like a new Cersei, because she has been kind of humbled, and she wasn't even like spouting like revenge and all this anger. She wasn't even mad at Jaime. Like, mm-hmm. I thought she was for sure gonna be like, I told you that you weren't man enough to do this. And she was like, not, she just was broken. Like, do you remember the first dead body we saw? And he was like, it's our mother, which is deep, because Tyrion being born is what killed their mom, and she resents Tyrion to this day for that. And she basically said, like, Myrcella, she's sad that she died because she was the best of them. Like, she wasn't evil. She was good. And I thought, if I can make her, then maybe I'm not the monster that I feel like I am. And he says, nah, don't blame yourself. I failed her. She says, no, I knew this would happen. The witch told me. He was like, I know you don't believe that. She was like, the fuck I don't, nigga. It's coming true. And Jamie was like, fuck prophecy. And then he gave her this really like romantic, it was like this really romantic speech. except it's incest, so it's like,
right, you can put y'all brother and sister.
It's like these two beautiful blonde people are like pledging love to each other, then you realize like, oh, that's right, y'all's brother and sister though.
I hope I find me a man that loves me the way Jamie loves his sister.
Get you a man that can do both. Get you a man that can
be a brother and a lover.
Right. I want to be a good brother and a good father to our children.
Oh.
he pledges this love and shit, and then they cut to Marjorie. And then she also brings up that Jamie was right last time, just to say he's wrong now, because she can't help but call him wrong. But she was like, you were right when you told us that, you told me that they were gonna come for us and try to take everything we had, and I should have listened to you. Marjorie is still up in prison, and Septim Unella's old mother superior ass was trying to get her to do her hymns. And she kept asking about her brother Loris, I think Loris. And she was like, stop asking me about that nigga and do your work.
Confess.
Right. You gonna confess and read this shit or not? And she was like, I'm not confessing. I'm a queen and I won't see my brother. And she said, bitch, and got up to hit her. And right before she hit her, the High Sparrow walked in and was like, Mother Anella, come on. Don't be hitting people. Go see the other people, please. And she was like, all right, I'm leaving now, but I'll be back. And then the High Sparrow played good cop and tried to get Marty to confess, and she still wouldn't. And she still asked about her brother. He still didn't answer. And then he was like, well, you could confess to something, you know, kind of like he did Cersei, where it's like, ain't it something you could say? And she was like, I'm not perfect, but I don't have anything to confess. And he was like, well, you started down the path today, but you got many miles to go. So they're looking for a confession of something from her, I'm assuming to the fact that she witnessed her brother being gay, buggery as they call it. And then I don't know what they're gonna do to her, because this is the only part of the show that's weird to me. I don't know what the punishments are in their legal system, so it feels like they could just do anything.
I think he make his own rules up. That's the thing. I think when Cersei kind of put him quote unquote in power, they got their own rules and regulations that are kind of separate from, like, the law.
Okay.
I think they have a wheel that they spin.
That would make sense, too.
He's like, oh, walk of shame. Walk of shame.
You got a walk of shame. Yes.
Yes. You got off lucky. Tell her what's in the package. You'll be walking New King's Landing.
People will throw doo-doo at you.
You get doo-doo surprise. Yeah, brand new.
Shamed all the way home.
You'll be spat on by millions of town people. No shoes. Don't worry about it. You're going to be bleeding anyway. Who knows what package she's getting. They go to Dorne. Back at Dorne, Prince Dorne is walking around, struggling because he got the gout. He's and like Ilaria's holding his hand, helping him walk, but like you can tell he's just not. It's a struggle for it's little foot, long foot.
No,
get your damn hands off of me. Like it was just that type of shit. And then they had a talk about Oberyn, who he's like, you know, he misses Oberyn, but it was better that Oberyn was the adventurer because he wasn't designed to be that. And you said he got to go around and sleep with many beautiful women. And then I love that Ilaria reminds him and men. He was the freaky prince, okay? He got it in.
Everybody.
He was trisexual, okay? We did a lot of freak shit.
Ah!
And he said Oberyn was born to be an adventurer and I was born to rule. And she said, the gods are not fools. You would have been a terrible adventurer and Oberyn a terrible ruler. And they both had a chuckle. And meanwhile, a messenger approached and Ilaria's eyes was looking like, okay, here we go.
Right, because this message is probably this girl dead.
Yeah, and so in the message, it says Prince Marcella is dead. And he was like, she's dead. What the hell could possibly be going on with this situation? And that's when Ilaria decided to reveal her hand. And it got very who the fuck do you think I am, as they started stabbing niggas up. They stabbed my man Lieutenant Debo right in the back.
I thought
he was like, they really built him up to make me think he was gonna be somebody. He died so easy.
Me too. And I was just starting to lust over him. It had just begun between us,
right? And he could have been something, like he could have been somebody.
Yeah,
because like they could
have
like they could have at least had like I don't know, 45-second duel or something with them, like maybe you know, it takes a couple more stabs to kill him. Like, I thought he was a badass, and this nigga died with one stab. Like, oh, I'm dead. So he dead. And then Doran got stabbed in the chest, and he fell all the way out of his chair on the ground. And then some random nigga was just like, oh, and started running.
Yeah. That's the dude that bought the note.
The maid's like, don't kill the messenger.
That's right. I just bought the note. I didn't know we were going to be killing folks. I'd have kept the message to myself. Shit.
And one of the sand snakes picked up a knife from Debo's back and threw it into that dude's back.
Right. He's like, I'm just a UPS man. Damn.
Right. So he dead. And then that's why you never bring gout to a gunfight. You know?
Oh, no. Please don't.
Shout out to all the palace guards being cool with it. Because she gave a speech. She was just like, when's the last time you left this palace? You don't know your own people. They're disgust for you. Elea Martell was raped and murdered and you did nothing. Oberyn Martell was butchered and you did nothing. You're not a Dornish man. You're not our prince. And then he was laying there dead, about to die. And he was like, what about my son, Tristan? He gonna avenge me. And she said, your son is weak like you, and weak men will never rule Dorne again.
Never.
For real. She forever.
It's gonna be interesting because, you know, she feisty and she like the warm shit.
Yeah, I mean, she's Oberyn's, you know, unofficial wife, you know. It makes sense. This is a victory for side chicks everywhere, you know.
Right, she won.
Not since Alicia Keys got Swiss Beats has side chicks won like this.
I was about to say, not since Amina won Peter Guns, but
I feel like that's in its seventh overtime. We can't
yeah.
Can't call that.
We're gonna
yet.
call that one a draw.
Yeah. Oh, so Tristan was in his room on a ship. Mourning Marcella. I don't know why he was on the ship. Hey, maybe I must have forgot last year, but I don't know why that nigga would be chilling on the ship rather than like in the palace, because I don't think they knew Marcella. Maybe he was going to visit Marcella. Anyway, he was in there painting the eye on those stones that you put on people's graves for some reason.
Maybe he was on his way to her funeral.
Maybe. Mm. Maybe he was painting extras for himself, though, because the sand snakes came a knocking. It was Obra and then the one with the whip, and they came through and was like, hey man, we gotta kill you. And he was like, come on dog, be for real, y'all family. And they was like, I know, but we gotta kill you. And he was like, they was like, the good news is you get to pick between me and the other one. And he picked the whip one. And Obra said, that's a good choice, like, because I was going to kill your ass real bad. And Tristan took out his sword. Now, I don't know why he didn't ask to take it outside, because it felt like close quarters for a fight anyway against two people. Mm-hmm. And as he was, you know, squaring up with the one with the whip, Obra stabbed him through the back of his head with that spear.
Yeah, he took a L.
And the one with the whip was like, the one with the whip was like, greeted, bitch.
You're so damn selfish.
Right. Damn, let somebody else kill somebody once in a while. Get off the sticks.
Taking all the kills.
Right. I know she don't never switch on Mario Brothers.
Mm-mm.
It back in Vereen, Tyrion and Varys were strolling through Marine's projects in brown clothes, looking like gentrifiers.
Coming to find a spot for the little coffee shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? We could put a nice deli here.
Tourist.
But yeah, we should get one of those restaurants where we take food from the garbage and we resell it at high prices.
Oh, no.
So they're walking through there looking like they about to buy Park Place, and all the brown people walking by, they like, every time a brown person walk by, they look hella suspicious at them, even though like that part of town must have been destroyed and whatever, the riots and the terrorism and shit, cause like it looked run down. Like, you know, and nobody was there. Like, this is a vibrant live city and now nobody was on the streets. And my man Varys looked back up at the pyramid and Tyrion assured him, like, look, we're cool, we got on poor people clothes. And Varys is like, nigga, you walk rich.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we look like we not supposed to be here. And then Tyrion basically responded, well, you ain't got no dick, which that's kind of his go-to, you know. I'm skipping a couple lines, but that's pretty much where it came to. Like, oh, I walk rich, well, you ain't got no dick, now what? I'm like, it can't be that many little people in the city of Marine anyway, so like, why would,
yeah, most probably didn't survive.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter what you had on, most people can probably just look and be like, what's up, you know. So Tyrion tried to give a poor woman some money to feed her baby, but he doesn't speak Valyrian very well, so it sounded like he wanted to pay her money to eat her baby.
Like, your baby looks yummy.
Right. And then they saw a sign that said, kill the masters, and then over that was Mahisa. Mahisa is a master, which is what they were calling Dany two summers ago when she when they lifted her up. They was calling her Mahisa, Mahisa or whatever, which means mother. But now they're saying that mother is a master, we need to kill her too. So and then they were, and he was, Tyrion's pretty pragmatic, he's like, well, yeah, she freed the slaves, so of course they, you know, everybody gotta hate her now, you know. It's like Abraham Lincoln, free the slaves, you know, they want to kill you. And a red priest was there recruiting people to his religion, saying that the mother of dragons wasn't coming back, and why y'all sitting around waiting on her? Well, y'all can save yourselves. Which makes me wonder, you know, with this kind of being an allegory for occupying a country that has a bunch of turmoil, I wonder if that's supposed to be like the radical religion there, the fire religion, if that's gonna have come into play, because we already have Sons of the Harpy and the Freedmen as battling, you know, people. I wonder if we're gonna get like a third party of this religion coming in and being like, and now we killing people too.
Yeah, it's about to be.
I wonder if it'll be the Dothraki.
And we got the Dothraki over there too. Yeah, we don't even. Yeah, shit is going down over there. It's gonna be bad. And people was watching them from the shadows and shit. And he was talking about how everybody's in danger and people are staying inside now because it's a reason to kill everybody. And Varys is like, well, we just need to find the Sons of the Harpy, and don't worry I got my TMZ people on it. We're gonna find out who that is.
Me and the internet is on it.
Yeah. Yeah, Varys already got the internet, so he's just like, don't worry, I got somebody on it. Did you know Johnny Manziel got indicted? Okay, because
I do.
Breaking news. Okay, just check my iPhone.
They got Rachel Roy up out of here.
Yeah. He's like, and Rachel Ray. Right about then, they find out that somebody burned all of Daenerys' ships.
They seen shit smoking and they about to run in another direction.
I forgot all about them ships in that harbor. Remember them ships she got from when she had all that, she went to that place where she wanted to get all that gold to buy them ships and shit. I forgot she got them fucking ships. So yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
They burned her shit up, dog. The boats was on fire.
Yeah, I guess if something happened, you won't be taking them out.
Look, I haven't seen that many people jump off ships since Azealia Banks got a Twitter account. Like,
people
was just running away. Dario and Jorah were chilling looking for Danny, who we know got abducted by a horde of Dothraki last year. And Dario couldn't help but rub it in that Jorah is a cuckold. He just had to keep bringing up, like, yeah, man, you know, what did it feel like to be old and can't fuck this girl like I be doing? And Jorah's like, whatever, nigga, you gonna die one day anyway. And he was like, well, I hope I don't die old like you. And they was going back and forth. It was shady, but they were talking to each other very cordially.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said something like, you're a romantic, I admire that. Sometimes I look at you and think, so that's what I look like when I get old. And Jorah's like, if you get old, bitch.
Yeah. Your young dumb self.
Then he checked his wrist and saw it was about age 30, because the time is coming, dawg. The time is coming with them scale A's, bruh.
It's like age 45.
Right. Like, it's real close to age o'clock, dog. And he, and you know, I couldn't help thinking, do you touch yourself with the AIDS arm, like with the scale arm? Mm-hmm. Like, does it affect you like poison ivy? Like,
I don't know.
I wonder how it works.
Right.
Because I would hate it.
It might be like a zombie bite, right? So like he got bit and now he's infected, and maybe he won't be contagious until he's like fully covered.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just my hypothesis.
Right, yeah, because if it's like poison ivy, then that's really gotta suck. Mm-hmm. But if it's just kind of like a zombie bite, I mean, you know, you'll just die one day. I hope we get to see him fully snaked out, though.
I think we will.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
I want to see him like the Cobra Commander at the end of the G.I. Joe movie. What's up, man?
it's slither away.
Yeah. They found Danny's ring, which...
I was so mad. As soon as they went into that field, the first thing I said was, if they find this little ass ring in this field, I'm going to be real mad. And then they found it. That was such a sight.
It was such a sight. They found it like right where, if that would have been my black ass out there looking for that ring, it would sound like this.
Sir, what? Are we being too literal?
No, you fool. We're following orders. We were told to comb the desert, so we're combing it.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. How about you?
Not a thing, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
That would have been me in the desert. My bad.
Come on, dog. That was a tiny ass ring. And they were in like China. They was on the east side of China, and he just found the ring.
He was like, it means she's been taken. I would have been like, oh, I found a ring.
Right.
Whose ring is this? You know what? This ain't a bad trip after all, man. Shit. I'm gonna pawn this when you get back to Marine. See if they got a cure for scale AIDS. But yeah, he found the ring and shit, and then they realized that it was a horde of Dothraki that took him from the, like, they could tell from the horse prints and shit, and they realized that they gotta go after her and the horde to find her. And then we cut to Danny, who's now tied up and walking alongside a horse as like a potential slave to be given to the new cow of this Dothraki horde. And these niggas on the horse were street harassing her like it was a hot summer day in New York. It was just very rude. They were talking about white hair on her, if she had white hair on her pussy.
Yeah, she could understand them too. She just didn't say nothing.
Yeah. I mean, she basically needed to just put her headphones in and, you know, play it off. But yeah, they was rude as fuck. And one dude was like, I'ma ask Cal Morrow for a night with her, what you think? And dude said, the other one's like, pretty eyes, but she's an idiot. And he said, she don't have to be smart to get fucked in the ass. And then the other dude
oh, Lord.
The other dude was like, not me, I like to talk when I finish, otherwise we might as well be dogs. And I was thinking, you know what, It's pretty progressive for a street harassing horde member. You know,
they were like two Twitter niggas having a discussion about women. I just sat there the whole time, like, look at these old dirty fingernails living in their mama basement, niggas.
Right. They was like, we didn't steal no lotion at the last raid. We like to stay ashy
and dry.
Right. The one dude though, he was like, not me. I like to cuddle after my sexual assault. I ain't no savage.
I like to cuddle with these bitches.
Right. Yeah. You be holding them hoes. Mm-hmm. I be holding them. Cause I respect my bitches.
Yeah.
So, you gotta hold them, dog. If you hold them, you know, you might hit it again.
So Cal Morrow, they roll up on him with Danny and they're like, look what we found, white bitch. And Cal Morrow got a pretty relaxed barbershop type vibe to his crew. His women was hating though. They was like, cut her head off. Ugh.
Ooh, they was hating so hard. Like, she ugly, she white, she skinny.
Right. I was like, who is this Becky with the long hair? She can get the hell out of here. Come in here with them blue eyes.
Becky Azalea up out of here.
And Becky Azalea. So she was like,
they were like, she gonna cast a spell on you.
Yeah, she a witch. Cut her head off. And he was like, see, I know she bad because y'all hating so hard that it's obvious she fine. So y'all stop hating. And he was like, yeah, I'm gonna have to knock this down right here. Just taking a look at her like a new car. Then he was like, the best thing in the world is when you see a beautiful woman naked for the first time. What's better than that? And
then they started Twitter niggering.
Yo.
Oh, well, certain things, dog. Like, you know, you get a new pair of fresh jeans, nigga.
Yeah, he rolled with Well Actually Twitter, cause they Well Actually the fuck out of this. Like, it was, I was laughing. I thought it was funny, but dude was like, killing another cow. He was like, oh, shit, you right, killing another cow. All right, yeah, okay. But after that, taking off them clothes, conquering the city, taking the people as slaves, taking the idols back to Vaz Dothrak. Okay, cool. Breaking a wild horse. Okay, yes, breaking a wild. Damn, nigga, top five? Can I get top five? It's the top five things. Seeing a new chick naked. Is that cool? And then Danny revealed that she speaks Dothraki. Well, he got ready to rip her clothes off and she was like, no. And she said, in Dothraki, he was like, hold up, what?
Yeah, but look at that. You speak this language?
Right. And then the black woman was immediately like, oh, so she know we was talking shit. Damn.
I was waiting for her to drop that like the big joker. She waited a long time, too. She just ran a Boston on their ass, too. Like,
listen, oh. I would have been speaking Dothraki as soon as they picked me up, but...
Right.
That's why she's the unburnt, man. Like, she knows how to hold it to the end. You know, she don't play the big joker right away. But I would have played it. So she gives her whole rundown of all the names. I'm Daenerys Stormborn of the House Targaryen, the first of her name, the Unburnt, Queen of Meereen, Queen of the Andals and Rhaenar, and the First Men, Khaleesi of the Great Grass, Breaker of the Chains, Mother of the Dragons, the Round Mount of Rebound, Chocolate Thunder from Down Under, the Thriller in Manila, and the Black Mamba.
They was like, that don't matter.
He was like, you the millionth of your name. I don't know you. You don't even go here.
Who is your people?
Yeah. Witch. And he yada yada that shit. And he was like, listen, you can say whatever you want to, but I'm fucking you tonight. And you're gonna give me a son. I'm hitting the skins and I want a son. And she said, right? It was so disrespectful. And she was like, nah, nigga. Not until the sun rises in the west and sets in the east will I have sex with you or give you a son with any nigga. Period.
Until the day the ocean burns a star out in the sky. Until the ocean covers every mountain. She's like, nope.
And she said, the brown women went, I told you, cut that bitch head off. Like I told you.
You thought we was playing.
And then she brought up that she used to be married to Khal Drogo, and then he was like, oh, Khal Drogo, I know him. Okay then. Mm-hmm. Well, I promise you this, ain't nobody in here gonna lay a finger on you. Then he cut off her ropes and was like, she was like, okay, so can y'all take me back to Marine, because I'm the queen, I'll hook y'all up with some shit, you know, appreciate the y'all understanding. And he was like, nah, baby, you gotta go to the Dothraki capital, and then you gotta live with the rest of the widows of all the cows for the rest of your life. So basically you gotta go to Florida. And
well, is that like a retirement center? They sit out there and play big wigs and boot and
big wigs and tonk and spades.
Right.
And
they were like, we ain't got shit else to do. We retired.
Gin rummy. Yeah, I don't know. It don't sound like, I mean, she didn't seem too enthusiastic about it. And, you know, knowing her, she's so, you know, like she's been used to leading. She don't want to hear that shit about being put up somewhere.
Right.
So she was like, nah, that's whack. But obviously she didn't say anything at the time, so she's like, all right, cool. And then so she'll be down there in Florida with the Golden Girls and shit.
Right.
I know them old women gonna be hating.
Mm-hmm. Who they gonna be mad? They basically sending her to like widow jail, and she gonna be young and fine.
Right. And you know them, they probably got some old widows in there. She gonna be the only white woman in there. It's
Ooh.
Gonna She gonna come in there and be like, I think Becky is a racist term, first of all.
Ah!
It means to have oral sex with somebody. I know because I looked it up on Rap Genius, and I'm from Australia.
And now we all know. Right. Because it's on, you know. And then she gonna be like, just because that one time I had called y'all my master, I use that as affectionately, and I'm reclaiming that term.
I'm taking it back.
I have black friends who call me Mahissa, so I feel like you guys should just like really calm down. I understand your culture.
One time I had sex with a guy who was almost black, but not really.
So like, I feel like we're all getting on the wrong foot here. You're all my niggas, okay? So Arya is back in Bravos getting money on these streets, because she blind. So she just standing there with a bowl and people dropping change in it, and people was walking by. They was talking about Meryn Trant being dead, and then old girl from last season that don't really like her, mm-hmm. that done already beat her down a couple times, showed up, and she had two bow staffs, and she said, are you listening, blind girl? Do you hear them talking?
Ooh.
Are any of them talking to you? No. So sad. And she challenged her to a fight with bow staffs, and as would happen with most people that are blind and in a physical fight, she got her ass whooped. Mm-hmm. It was bad.
Yeah, she was like, I'm blind. She was like, that's not my problem. Take mm-hmm. this. What? What?
Shout out to the people on the street that didn't even say shit.
Mm-mm.
Like, I seen a nigga pull out his phone. He was like, world star, just start filming, and they just let it happen. Going. Right. And then when she finished whooping that ass, she said, see you tomorrow.
I was like, oh, this is going to be a daily thing? She's going to whoop my ass every day?
Yeah, Arya's face was priceless.
Every day.
Her face was so priceless. It was like, but it's Tuesday. You know, she was looking like, but tomorrow's Sunday. We not taking Sunday off.
Yeah, like, nope. And I tell you one thing, Arya going to be a goddamn beast. Because I tell you, after that training like that, She gonna fuck around and fuck up one good time.
If she live, Jesus. All cause she killed the wrong nigga. That was like, nope, you can't see no more. Oh man.
And didn't she steal a face too?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She stole a face. She killed the wrong man. I mean, she just fatty Arya, you know. So
oh.
We get back to Castle Black, and Thorn came to talk to Davos and them, and he had archers at the ready outside the door, so we know what kind of man we're dealing with, a treacherous motherfucker, so it's pretty mm-hmm. obvious. No matter what he's saying, when you walk out the door, you catch an arrow to the face, so who gives a fuck? But he basically said, hey man, look, we are willing to let you go, you know, as long as, you know, we'll let all these dudes free. we'll let Davos leave. You could take the Red Witch with you, or you can leave her here with us rapists. It's totally up to you, bro. And you know how good we are to women around here. And Davos was like, maybe if I can get like a to-go plate. I mean, can I get some mutton?
Right.
Some of that some of that potato salad for the road. And he was like, yeah, we'll give you a horse, we'll give you some mutton, whatever you need, bro. Just, you know, y'all need to come on out before we had to come on in there. And Davos was like, all right, cool, we'll be right back, we gotta think about it. And Thorne left, and then Davos turned around and was basically like, look guys, he coming in here to kill us at some point. I don't trust him. We gonna have to use the Red Witch to get out of here. And I was like, the fuck is she gonna do? And he was like, y'all ain't seen her at work. She a beast. She gonna Gandalf us out of here. She gonna find a way to whisper to a butterfly and a dragon gonna show up, something. Then we cut to Melisandre, who's sitting up in her room watching reruns on the Fireplace Channel. And
the only channel she gets,
Fireplace and Chill. So she went over to the mirror and she pulled them titties out like blam. And I knew something was gonna happen because the music changed, you know. And when you hear the music, because it was like, it was getting to like what, 9:55 or some shit. And the music started changing. She was looking in the mirror at herself and she was looking mad vulnerable, and you could hear it. And I was like, what is about to happen? And we found out that apparently she's been taking all her Instagram pictures from the high angle.
Like, she be using all the thought filters,
cause she took it out no filter, and she was Strong Thurman under there. It was her necklace came off.
She about 1,000 years old. I was like, what the hell is happening here?
Her necklace came off and she was like, yeah, this me now, this the real me. And it looked like a 150-year-old witch.
Yeah, it was like, bad. She, it was like, wait.
Have y'all seen Shallow Hal?
Oh yeah, yes. I have seen it. Yes.
So like the premise is he put because he's hella shallow, so he put a spell on him that he only sees people for their inner beauty. So everyone around him is hella fine, and his friend is really superficial. And so he was dancing with some chicks, and they were really fine to him. And he was like, you know, which one do you want? And his friend was like, the hyena or the hippopotamus? That's what she looked like the Shallow Hal spell.
Yeah. He looked like Oh, I don't want to take the name of this movie, so I'll just say he looked like Dan Aykroyd in that movie with Digital Underground.
It's called
you know what movie you're talking about?
Wait, it's not nothing to not know.
I'm gonna Google it real quick. Digital Underground, Dan Aykroyd. I feel like. That can't be a lot of results for that. Nothing but trouble.
Yeah, okay, I was close.
He looked like Dan Aykroyd in Nothing But Trouble, because she looked so bad. Her edges were gone.
She took off her wig, her eyelashes, her yes. paint. Like
it was like Anne Marie Johnson, and I'm gonna get you, sucker.
Yes, yes.
Don't make me come. Hop after you.
Like, it was so bad. Oh my god, man. I felt so bad for her, man.
She's
like,
been around a long time.
Stannis put his penis inside her. Like, that's why a poltergeist came out, man. Ain't nothing in there. Like a huge dust bunny just came out and took life. It's like, I'm gonna kill a king, and just ran off. Oh man. Like, she took them Lululemons off and just let the world
see what it is,
dog. And then she just went to bed, because like me on a Friday night, she was washed, and she just went and hopped into bed. without her necklace on, and I'm assuming it's the necklace that keeps her looking good, but mm-hmm. the only problem is we saw a scene where she didn't have the necklace when she was with Celeste, and Celeste was bathing her, and it looked like Celeste was checking her out, being like, damn, she fine. But I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know, she did tell Celeste in that scene, like, I don't have to use my tricks with you because your faith is so strong. So maybe,
maybe she saw her as the old lady then. And
yeah, I have no idea, because like the scene was filmed where we, the audience, saw her being fine.
Right.
But I don't know what to say. I don't know. Maybe we were seeing it from Celeste's vision. I don't know. Anyway, that's how it ended, y'all. It was just her being like, "This is me," and then the
y'all end. Gonna deal, world.
Yeah.
The so, whole timeline, like all the dudes on my time, it was wonderful because I don't really think that actress is as fine as y'all think she is. So every week I've seen a bunch of people like lusting after her body. And so they have started, it was lust hour. And then all of a sudden, every dude on my timeline was like, oh God.
Yes. I mean, my thing with her is, well, first of all, I do think she's a very attractive woman and all that stuff, but
absolutely
right, she has the magic with her titties out, so of course everybody gets excited when she shows up. It's if you have a character that I don't know, one out of every 10 times you see them, they're gonna pull their titties out, of course every dude watching the show is like, I really like that character. Yeah, because you think you about to see some titties. now you have a little something to worry about. It felt like the comeuppance for all them titty shots was blah out old people titties. Now what?
Oh.
That's right. Thank you for being a friend.
Very attractive. I don't think that she's as fine as everyone else thinks she is.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the show's, you got to grade the show on the curve. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, she it's basically like seeing Dorothy from the Golden Girls just get naked. You know, just
yes.
At any rate, what are y'all looking forward to next week? Karen?
I'm looking forward to Aria and her constant street fighting. To see if, you know, if she gonna level up. That's gonna be interesting. Now that Brienne is with them, how that's gonna go down. Because, you know, she pledged her life, so that's gonna be interesting.
I feel like that's going to take a while.
All right, to develop.
Yeah. What about you, Nick Jew? What you looking forward to next week?
I'm ready to see grown man Bran.
Yes. Me too.
He's old.
He got to have powers now or something.
What was he
like, sleeping? Like, his powers need to be refined.
What was he sleeping like? Rip Van Winkle? He just went to sleep and just woke up?
Well, he went up there with them... He went up there with them trees to train and shit, right? So, I don't know. Maybe he been training with the trees. Whatever, man.
He's gonna mess around, be able to walk.
His powers need to be on fleek, is what I'm saying. I don't want him to be...
He took a good nap. He took a Friday night after work nap.
Yes, he did. It was like, fuck it, I'm asleep 12 hours and ain't shit nobody can do about it.
Yeah, he woke up and he don't know if he late for work or early, you know?
Yes, I've had that feeling. You panic.
So, I'm looking forward to that.
He was drooling.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to what happens in that room, because Alistair Thorne is not gonna be too patient, and he coming up in there at some point. And I also want to know if the Sand Snakes are going to do something now that they have control of the country.
I think they are
because I don't even know how, like, will they be recognized as successors to the throne? I mean, essentially it was Oberyn's jump off that staged the coup and killed the bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just four women. Will it be a matriarchy now? I have no idea. So
do you think Ilaria is strictly out for revenge, or do you think she's coming for the Iron Throne?
As of right now, I feel like she's just looking.
Mm-hmm.
looking for revenge.
Yeah, I don't even think she's even care or considering that.
Yeah, I don't think she's done though. It's like, she did all this to kill the Lannisters, so right. I mean, if a byproduct is her getting the Iron Throne, maybe, but she don't seem preoccupied with ruling.
Mm-mm.
She's just petty, man. Like, she put Oberyn in the equation of people that got cheated when he didn't even get cheated. He just started touchdown dance before the end zone like Deshaun Jackson. Like,
right, and that was
right. I mean, he died fair and square. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, he shot the fair one and ended up getting killed. And now she's sitting up there like, they gotta die for that. So I just think she team petty and she don't give a fuck. So I've heard people say, like, I don't really like the Doran storyline, but I don't think it's their fault. I think we didn't get to spend enough time with the characters and the politics of the region.
True.
And I wish we could have got more, you know, because I feel like I actually am interested. But they rushed through so much, and then that fight they had last year was hella whack to me.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm really interested to see, will we, now that they're starting to merge some of these storylines, will we get more Dorne? Because I like Alaria and I like Oberyn. So hopefully we get some snakes killing people in Lannister, in King's Landing. All right, we have emails, yeah. Guys. Let's talk about these emails. First of all, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Bevel.
Mm-hmm.
Bevel is bringing you these emails. The first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. For all the people in Dorne, step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com. Use code TBGWT to get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. GetBevel.com, code TBGWT. Look, Father's Day is fast approaching, okay? This deal is about to run out at some point, okay? The month's almost ending. I think this may be our last read of this free TBGWT. Get your first month free. So yeah, free TBGWT, get your first month free. So I say go get your first month free and give this joint to somebody that you care about, and it maybe that person you care about is yourself. So get all that irritation up off your skin, okay? Maybe you're at a predominantly white institution and you just want to make some inroads towards the other black people. Just give them some Bevel and then give them the power fist sign and they'll know that you down, all right? Emails. We got one from Brandon who says, Rod and Karen, so glad Them Thrones is back. As much as I love Walking Dead, we have now reached the main event. I love the first episode, the massacre in Dorne, and the comedy with Tyrion and Varys, who is still the smoothest person on the show. Probably using that Bevel. But I think this episode let us get a glimpse into the overarching theme of the season, which is the rise of powerful women, and I love it. Maybe, I don't know. This show is, you get too much into what this show might do, and that's when they fuck you up. Mm-hmm. It's like, watch these powerful women get raped, and you're like, oh shit, I didn't want to see any of this.
I was not ready for none of this.
We had Sansa acting like the head of the household or lord by formally doing the oath with, man, she could barely remember that shit. Come on, Sice.
She wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Oath with Brienne and overcoming some fears and trying to escape from the Bolton's army. Well, that's true. She did try to escape. We have Arya going full daredevil stick. Nigga, she got her ass whooped. What are you watching? Including in Bravos, where she will probably become this badass fighter. I hope so. I can't watch her get her ass whooped for 10 episodes.
No.
Cersei is out for blood and going to be ruthless in her vengeance on all the people that fuck with her. I hope she does, but she don't seem so right now. She seemed very much resigned to her fate. And Dany stepping up, declaring that she is not going to be raped or treated like a slave by the Dothraki. Of course, the biggest what the fuck moment was Melisandre retelling that she is 900 years old. Oh, revealing that she's 900 years old. Yeah. But even how they shot that scene, it seems like she is going through a stage where she is questioning her beliefs and some of her actions, and she will redeem herself somehow, hopefully by burning Ollie for the Lord of the Light. Yeah, I thought for a second that it was bad that I wanted to see that little boy's head on the spike. Mm-hmm. But the way he was walking around all smug this episode, I hope he burns alive. Anyway, thanks for all the great content you provide. Love the show. Can't wait till next week.
Man, I hate White Canard.
Listen, I gotta
got no love for Ollie.
Look, I trust and love y'all, so I'm just gonna go ahead and drop my unpopular opinion right now. I fuck with Ollie, dog.
Fuck that nigga.
Ollie watched them niggas kill his motherfucking parents in front of his goddamn face. And then John was like, but we need to be friends. And he's not for that shit. And I get it. His pettiness. I get Ollie's pettiness so much more than the other people. Like, everybody.
I mean, I get it. I just don't like it.
Right.
Yeah, look, I'm not here to convince y'all. I just need to speak in my truth. I need to step into my truth. and tell people how I really feel about the situation, because I didn't even want to say nothing about it on Twitter because I don't feel like fighting these Game of Thrones fans. Right. But look, I fuck with Ollie. I don't know what to tell y'all, man. He petty, but he right. John was trying to be friends with them people that killed his daddy and his mama in his face. Like, nigga, we can't be. And he told him so many times, like, John, come on now. Ain't nobody gonna fuck with you if you do this. John's like, shut up, you're a little kid. You just need to understand. He's like, nigga, I need to understand. Okay. We gonna see who understands. So, anyway, he tried to tell him, man. Emil writes in, hello, Rod, Karen, and Nick Jew. As is the case with all Dem Thrones first episodes, this one was pretty slow because of all the storyline setups that need to be done. I feel like it was pretty fast because I felt like we were jumping around to a new scene every 10 minutes, just like a new location. Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty excellent with a strong reveal at the end. See what I did there? The only issue I have is with the Dorne storyline. I've never been one of those book readers that endlessly compare the books to the season, but I do have one quibble. The Sand Snakes and the Prince were so fully fleshed out in the book with the plans and the machinations that I expected. That I was expecting a significant Dorne storyline this season. My suspicion with the quick execution of the Prince and the Birdman, his body, I forgot I called that dude Birdman, his bodyguard, is that the writers tied up Dorne's loose ends and will abandon the story. I think they're going to merge the story. I think now Dorne and King's Landing now becomes one story, is my guess.
Oh, you're right, because they're going to be going back and forth.
That's my guess. Do you think Birdman's bodyguard told the Sand Snakes to put some respect on my name? One too many times. I could have sworn I heard him say, you stabbing me or punching my skin as he went down. You stabbing me, you puncturing my skin. one of the highlights of the episode was seeing Matt Murdock and Stick at the waterfront in the Marvel crossover portion of the episode. Aww. The other highlight, of course, was Brienne of Tarth rounding that corner for a second interview to protect Sansa. She aced it, of course. Theon actually stood up and grabbed a sword and helped out. Reek no more? No, nigga. It's always fuck Theon forever. I'm petty, too.
Forever.
Somebody told me, well, I kind of like him now. Mm-mm. He killed them kids. What part of burning kids do we forgive? I didn't know we was on this, Black Twitter. I also hope to see some Iron Island stuff this season with his father and sister. I wouldn't mind that. I do like his sister. My biggest disappointment with the episode is that there was no Bran or Hodor. I will contain my disappointment though, since it's just the first episode. Thanks for the recaps. No problem. Leonard Brothers writes in, we're back, motherfuckers. Dem Thrones is back and I'm here for all of it. The best show on TV is back. Bow down, bitches. Beyonce voice. What? You in the hive? Don't let me find out you in the hive, dog. One.
He's trying to deny he in the hive. He's trying to deny, but he just got initiated.
Right. They be,
yeah, you're a part of the group, dog.
Yeah. And when you disagree with somebody about it, they're going to call you the hive anyway. So you might as well embrace it.
Right.
You can't even be like, but I don't think Beyonce is a bitch. You in the hive. You attacking me. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
come on, no. We got open arms. There's plenty of room.
He has 5 points, guys. Number one, Jon Snow / Ghost. Damn, this motherfucker was still laying in the snow when that show opened. Literally a cold world. And man, hearing Ghost yelp like that made me think this is what it sounds like when wolves cry.
Aww.
Oh, Leonard. Shout out to Prince. Anyway, if when John is brought back to life, he and Ghost need to ride on the entire Night's Watch. I agree.
Oh, he'll give him the business if he come back.
Yeah. I guess technically it was snow in April, if you think about John Snow out there and it being April for real in real mm-hmm. life. But I don't think they planned that, okay? I want to say they made this show a long time ago. They all gotta die. I need John Dahl to do drive-by stabbings on these niggas. He need to send Ghost out there to bite faces off like, nah, son, nah, don't try to be friends now. You wasn't my friend when you stabbed me for the watch. Now shut your bitch ass up and get eaten by this dire wolf like a man.
Mm-hmm. I hope Ollie first on his list.
Number two, Brienne and Pod Diddy. Those two came through. These two came through a wreck shop. The ship was dope. Bree was out here trying to be on the blackout tips with all the sword ratchetness she was delivering. She was cutting heads off and slitting throats like, look at me, Rod, read about me on the show. And when did Pod learn to fight? He out here slanging dicks and swords. This nigga's a thug in the streets and a freak in the sheets. Jorah and Dario was talking that shit. He was like, hey, Jorah, smell my finger. You know what this is? Yeah, you know what this is, bitch. Meanwhile, Jorah and that crocodile AIDS on his arm were side-eyeing him like he wanted to shank his ass. Watch your back, Dario. Number four, Cersei, I hate this woman, but she gonna set it up the fuck off on everyone, and I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for her to get that swagger back, though, personally. I feel like she's not there yet. I hope she comes back to Queen Petty, but right now, I feel like she's just kind of going through the motions.
Shout out to the actress who plays Cersei. Like, she is an amazing actress, because I hate that character, but I love that actress, like what she's doing with the character.
She's so good, for me personally, it makes me like Cersei when I don't like anything about Cersei.
But
like, she come on screen and I'd be like, here we go. But really, she's a pretty despicable person. Mm-hmm. Arya, I can't wait for my girl to get right and beast on everyone, starting with this little heifer that keeps fucking with her. Well, we'll see, man. Let's see. Dem Thrones feedback from EVE. Hi, Rod, Karen, and Nick Jew. This episode was very good. I wanted to choke the shit out of Sansa, though. I thought last year she was turning the corner when she was plotting with Littlefinger, but it seems that she's reverted back to her whining self. I was hoping Theon left her ass. Hopefully she'll grow a backbone. One of the things I love about this show are the strong female characters. I love how Brienne came through and regulated. Looks like Podrick came up as well. Good for him. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. Sansa just has a different skill set, guys. You know, it's just not the putting on armor and killing niggas type. And she doesn't make a good runaway slave, you know?
No, she does not.
She like a house slave that's just, you know, just getting out in the field, dog. It's a lot of work, and it's a steep curve.
She wasn't ready.
I think she's handled herself admirably now that I have I'm able to have hindsight on all the seasons. I'm like, I understand. Like, I saw her, I was rewatching season one, and I was just like, oh baby, just you were not ready for any of this.
She wanted to be a princess and be married, like, honey, if you'd have caught her in season one, she did not think she would be here.
Yeah, she was playing with dolls. She wanted to marry Joffrey. Like, her life was so you know, we all come a long way, guys. I don't get how anyone didn't like this episode, because there was so much going on. Listen, there's always somebody that don't like everything, okay? Trust. Go on Twitter and say it, and then watch. Go on Twitter and tell people you love it, and then just watch the results.
Oh, yes, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, my God. Everyone is compelled. You're like, I've left my mom.
Right. You know what?
Yeah, they be like, fuck my mama and yours too. You be like, well, goddamn.
I told somebody, I said, I was like, you know what, man, Beyonce is the biggest artist in the world, and black, and pro-black, and a feminist, so that's dope. And then somebody came through and was like, well, I just didn't feel like Lemonade was that pro-black. And I was like,
oh my God.
You know what? You're entitled to feel whatever you want. I don't want to fight about it. Well, I just feel like this. Nope. We disagree. And you're entitled to your opinion. It's art and it's subjective. Like, I had to do that, because I was just like, I don't be wanting to fight. I just gave my opinion. I don't really care about have to defend it or not. I didn't say anything offensive to anybody. You know, everybody's special, guys. Y'all special to me. Alaria is a member of the...
I just ignore them. Like, if I'm like, I really love the sunshine, and somebody comes in like, I got a sunburn yesterday, I'm just ignoring them from now on.
Right.
Sunshine killed my daddy.
But I were.
All right. Okay. All right.
I ain't know. My bad.
Yeah. I saw an article that said Lemonade didn't have enough fat black women in it, and I was just like, you know what?
Oh my God.
I said, I won't argue with you because I don't have to. Like, you got it. If that pissed you off, or if that makes it less good for you, then what am I going to say? It's not less good for you. All
right, somebody said lemonade didn't have enough lemons in it. What's happening here?
Hey, look, it is what it is, man. I don't have to fight every fight, you know? But sometimes I feel like that's the internet. Niggas be looking you out like, I saw you like something. What's up with that?
Right.
Like, hey man, I didn't try to tell you not to like it. Shut up. Argue with me now. Ilaria is a member of the Beehive, who never forgets if you cross her. She will lure you into a false sense of security and sting the fuck out of you. I'm looking forward to seeing how the Sand Snakes and Ilaria come over the Dorne. I can't wait to see Cersei take down that shame nun. Somebody gotta get her. Sister Unella, whatever her name is. Yeah, she gotta go.
I want Cersei to get her fade, though.
Yeah, like, I don't think Marjorie got the heart to do it. At least she hadn't shown it yet. I'm not saying she can't, but we ain't seen it from her yet.
And you know what? And maybe this is just me. Whatchamacallit? Her aunt dipped after the
Lady
king,
Tyrell, Olena.
After, whatchamacallit died, Joffrey died.
Mm-hmm.
If she mess around and get loose and get back to her, she'll help her do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. So, we'll see.
Because she about that plotting.
Yep. Let's see what else. I'm really hoping that Jon Snow comes back as a White Walker and takes down those motherfuckers on the wall, especially Ollie. I hate that kid. Poor White, what'd you call him again? White
Canard.
Canard, yeah. Poor blonde Arya, I bet she going to be like Daredevil by the end of the season, fucking people up like a ninja. I think she gonna get her vision back, because it sounded like a temporary punishment to me. When Melisandre pulled out those... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I think it's temporary.
When Melisandre pulled out the titties, I thought something spectacular would happen, because it usually does when she gets naked, but nope. Oh, that was the other part. She pulled out the titties, and I know we all had the same thought. She about the magic. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a whole different type of magic, Mike, on that one.
Yeah, you did.
But nope, all we found out is she's 687 years old. Wonder what happened with that storyline. My only disappointment with this episode was no Hodor. He's a real MVP. Can't wait for next week. This season is going to be so lit. EVE. And the last one, Dr. Dostax writes in, howdy Rod, Karen, and Nick Jew. Them Thrones is back, y'all. And you know who ain't back? Jon Snow's dead ass.
He sure ain't.
Which is still sitting in the snow like garbage on a frosty Chicago morning.
Oh, Lord.
I hope Snow stays dead. Because like his father, he had the worst hereditary disease in Westeros. Integrity.
Wow.
Turn you, man. You the Bernie Sanders of this shit. All them principles.
He had morals.
All them principles. And where you at? Dead. Should have been a little more dirty, bruh. Do y'all feel bad for Cersei at all? I saw some folks on Twitter talk about it, but I can't bring myself to feel bad. She's the blame for 75% of what's wrong in King's Landing. Cersei's the one who got Bernie Sanders and the rest of the Sparrows into power because that dude does look like Bernie Sanders. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Right. He got them into power.
Damn, he do. Bernie Sparrow. She got him into power, and the rest of the Sparrows into power because she wants some goons, which led to them arresting the Tyrells, which doesn't exactly help the whole the Lannisters are broke thing. Damn, Cersei is the worst auntie mommy ever.
Aww.
Yeah, wait till Lord Tyrell gets back, because he and Bravo's securing that money, and then his security man just got killed and shit, so like, I wonder if they're gonna get that money back in time to King's Landing, like, the money might still be fucked up. During the scene with Tyrion and Varys walking through town, do you think the camera behind the wooden window grate thing was just a camera shooting thing or someone watching them? Someone was definitely watching them. I don't know who. And I don't know if they were trying to imply that people are always watching everybody or what, but somebody was definitely watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to hear more of them Thrones from y'all. Peace. Peace to you. And thank you to everybody who wrote in this week. Thank you to all the white people that listened all the way through and didn't skip through the racism part. Y'all the real MVPs.
Yes, you are.
Shout out to all the black people that agree with Aisha Tyler that still listen to the whole episode. Y'all the real MVPs too. I hope y'all learned something. And thank you most of all to Nick Jew. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Yes, Nick.
Thank you for having me and putting up with my internet. I don't know what it is. Like, I host an entire show and it's okay. And then I get on the Skype with y'all and the devil is a liar.
I'm just glad we made it through with the phone and everything, man. I know it's a bit of a delay, but I appreciate you doing it because I really wanted you to be on the show with us and talk some Game of Thrones.
I appreciate y'all having me. This is a really popular show, and thank you for allowing me to be here on the premiere. I love you guys so much. Miss you so
you
much.
You too. You too, buddy.
Yes.
Check out What's the Tea, guys. All right. It comes out every week, and it's always lit. And if you like us, you should like them because we like them, and they like us. Also, all our sponsors are who are our sponsors? Shadow Dog Productions, our second audio play album, which is Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Also, Adam and Eve, code TBGWT, get 50% off of one item. Plus you get free adult DVD, free exclusive gift, and free shipping. And lastly, don't forget free TBGWT at GetBevel.com. So we'll be back Saturday for our feedback show. Everybody else, that's premium, we'll see you Friday for Balls Deep Sports with Justin. Until then, love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. All right.